Nobody's gonna miss it in the light of day. Under streetlights, everything shines, everything looks like gold. Picking at the bones of a long gone industry. Miles of copper wire missing its electricity. Behind crumbling walls, ready to fall, treasures lie to be sold. On their dirty hands. Everybody's got their sharp edges. Everybody's heart is plated in steel. Take a blowtorch to it, see what it can
Southern Ontario roots songstress Alison Brown with a song entitled Scavengers from her new album. It's entitled Stitches and Incisions, and she's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Alison?
I'm doing great, Jan. Thanks.
Great for you to spend the time to talk to us. It's always exciting when a new album comes across my desk and when it's somebody that I know and somebody who is working to build a music career in this area of the country. I feel really the first thing I need to do is to get on the phone and have a chat with you about your music. I want to start off by giving you a chance to talk about how you got into a music career, because I always find that fascinating. What is it that got you involved in deciding to try and make music a career?
Well, it really goes way, way back for me. I mean, I started singing for audiences when I was 14. So when I was in, like, high school, I basically started doing live performances for audiences. And I really feel like it almost chose me rather than it was something that I actually actively, consciously made a decision about. But, and I, again, over those years, like, you know, as time wore on, I mean, I've definitely had moments where I kind of doubted my decisions to continue on with music all the time. And I've had breaks in my career too, where I took time off to go to school or take a certain job, or even at times when my creativity levels were just low, you know, or my finances were low, you know, you have to take these breaks. But it's really an underlying current with everything I've done. Like, I mean, and even the jobs that I've had aside from music have been, you know, working in record stores. I did some freelance work for CBC Radio for a while, and I also hosted my own campus show on two different stations now. So yeah, it's a huge part of my whole life. I can't even imagine not doing it. Like, I've tried to sort of quit music for certain periods, and then it just takes me right back into it eventually. So I'm really, understanding that it is going to be a lifetime commitment for me.
Is it the songwriting that really drives you, or is it the opportunity to get up and share your musical gift with people in live performance?
I think for me, it's mostly about live shows. I really do love playing live, and I was a singer much, much sooner than I even thought about writing songs. So for me, I'm more comfortable with the idea of being a singer first and a songwriter second, and I do embrace performing other people's songs as well. Like, I love kind of that folk tradition of passing songs along and finding some rare songs that people might not know of, or even some great classics. Like, I mean, I've recorded songs like Angel from Montgomery and Poncho and Lefty, and I love singing those songs, and I still take those out during concerts too. So I do love writing songs. I find that a little bit more difficult than actually just doing the singing parts. but when I get one, I want to make sure that it's great. Like, I really do take a lot of time and effort with my writing process, because they have to stand next to those great songs that I also want to keep continuing on to share and perform. So yeah, it's definitely, both of those things are part of the passion, but I got to say that the singing kind of comes most naturally to me. So
your latest release is Stitches and Incisions. That's just about to come out. How many actual recorded albums have you produced so far?
This is my third full-length one. The last full-length thing that I put out was in 2010, Viper at the Virgin's Feet, and then way back in 2005 was my very first album called Everything That Shined. And then I've done a couple other, like, kind of live recordings and home-burnt kind of projects that I wouldn't consider official releases up until this point. So I try not to make it more than 5 years between recording projects. But again, it just kind of depends on what I'm doing creatively and what my finances are like, and if I'm able to go out on the road, because I feel like, you know, if you're going to release a record, there's only so many copies of it that you're going to be able to move within your own community. So I'm able to go out on tour, so this was a perfect time to get this project finished, and I'm really, really excited about it. It's definitely much different than my previous recordings. It's a little bit more souped up, I'd say, so I'm really excited to bring it out for folks to listen to.
You mentioned, when you talk about music, the realities of being independent and trying to make sure you have enough money to produce the product that you want. I mean, that's a challenge, mm-hmm. right? This one, I think, really sounds the most coherent, and I think holds together the best. And maybe that's with the fact that, you know, this was your third full album you were producing, and it has that full album feel. But it must make you feel pretty good to get this out there now.
Yeah, it definitely does. It feels great to be able to kind of finally bring this out, because the first, like, four of the tracks on the CD were actually recorded back in 2013, and I didn't have enough oomph and money in my pocket at the time to finish the rest of the four songs, as well as time, because I kind of landed a full-time job that I wasn't really prepared for. I've never had one of those before. So I was the program director at CHRW here in London for the last year and a half or so. So I was on this contract, so I decided to save up some of the money while I was working to get a van and finish my record so I could make this all happen for 2015. Yeah, I'm really excited to bring this out, and especially because I feel like the arrangements that we came up with on the record are just so full and really illustrate the songs really well. And this record really has some, like, it's kind of themey. There's definitely some themes within the songs. And a lot of the songs came about, you know, during the time when I was living in Windsor. I had gone back there for a few years, my hometown, and kind of the sort of Windsor Detroit imagery comes up on the album, and like the kind of abandoned buildings kind of thing does emerge a lot, and kind of that rebuilding after the destruction. So I'm so excited about this record, Jan. Thank you for asking me about it.
Tell me about the title. I'm curious as to where Stitches and Incisions comes from.
Well, Stitches and Incisions is actually in a song called All Our Emergencies, and that was one of the first songs that I wrote for the record, and it's about the Grace Hospital building that was in Windsor it was really strange. Like, I ended up moving to the west side of Windsor, and I was living in this place, like, footsteps away from where I was actually born. And it was this, at the time, it was this crumbling structure that looked very haunted and really kind of a creepy place. But I was starting to think a lot about what that building represented for the community. And so many generations of people from the Windsor and Essex County region were born in that hospital. And, of course, there was an emergency room there, too. It started out as a hospital for unwed mothers. So part of that comes out in the song, too. So I did some research and history on the building. So, and Stitches and Incisions is actually in the chorus of that song. And then I was really kind of struggling to find out what I should call the record. And my good buddy Chris Crossroads, who plays banjo on the CD, he's like, oh, you got to call it Stitches and Incisions. And I was like, yep, you got it. Because it also kind of encompasses some of the other songs on the record as well. Kind of, again, that whole sort of like destroying and healing and breaking open and healing up again. There's a lot of that on this album. So I thought that was a fitting title.
We started off with the song Scavengers from the album, which isn't quite as much about the destroying. I suppose it's actually about trying to save things. Can you talk about that song?
Yeah, that song really kind of came out of nowhere. And I started off with just this killer melody for it. I didn't have any words for quite a while. And my good friend Leanne Olson, who writes novels and stuff, she helped me kind of organize some of my ideas towards that song. But yeah, it's about... about the scrap metal collectors, because, you know, that's a job, you know, especially in places like Windsor and Detroit that are kind of economically on the edge. You know, people are just trying to do what they can to get by and make things happen for themselves. So I thought those guys deserved a song. Like, you know, we're only doing what works. So so yeah, I hope that comes through in the song. And again, it's kind of also about finding and embracing your inner junk. So that's kind of what that song's about, too.
You know, I do like the sound of the album. It has a really nice, warm roots feel to that. Is that the way that you produced it? I think you produced it with Andy McGoffin down in the House of Miracles in Preston and Cambridge.
That's right.
Can you tell us
yep.
a little bit about how you went about that?
Well, honestly, I went into the studio with the bones of the songs and, like, no plan. This is the first time I've ever had a drummer on the record. So I really wanted to have that. So Andy suggested that we call up Marshall because we had never met before. So he came down to do the drum parts. And also J.J. Ibsen, who played all the keyboard parts, is a friend of Andy's who I'd never met before. We did the first round of stuff. And so they really put their own flavor on kind of the layered parts of the album, you know, that it kind of made the foundation for everything else to go on top of. So, and aside from that, I really just kind of called all of my favorite musician friends that I've played with over the years. You know, some of them were from Windsor, some of them were from here in London. So, and I knew the kinds of sounds that I wanted to have. Like, I really wanted to have Lonesome Lefty play some fiddle parts because his fiddle playing is not like anybody else's. And for the songs that he played on, I knew that that's the sound that I wanted to have. And then Martin Horak, who also plays fiddle on some of the other parts, he has more of a smoother kind of sailing tone to what he's doing. So I had him on the second round of tracks. And Scotty Hughes, who played guitar on some of the stuff, he's just a firecracker guitar player from Windsor. Loved having him on the record. And of course I have Uncle Dan Henshaw, who's my touring buddy. He played bass for some of the songs, and he also played mandolin for all the rest of the songs. So I really wanted to make sure that his parts kind of shone through on the album because, again, we are going to have to take this on the road as a live show when it's just the two of us. So some of those arrangements are pretty thick, and we're definitely translating them to the stage the best as we can. So. So yeah, that's kind of how it all came together, and everyone added their own kind of flavor to what was going on the song.
It certainly holds together really well. We should take a break for a song, and I'd like to play Invisible Line, if we can play that.
Sure.
From the album. Can you tell us about that one?
Oh, well, that one's a kind of an unrequited love song. I try to steer clear from the love and romance category, but sometimes I just can't help it. So, yeah, it's kind of a cross-border sort of love song, but it's also a song about, you know, these two very different cities, very different countries being so close together, and just what you see on the other side, and kind of that sort of portrait of Detroit, I guess, is part of that song too.
That's great. Let's play that now. This is Alison Brown from her new album. It's entitled Stitches and Incisions, and this is the track Invisible Line. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
There's always something burning on the other side. There's always something burning on the other side. In the shadow of a distant city, for miles around you can see dissolved dreams of $5 days, the arsenal of democracy. Big bullets pointed right up at the sky. Three big bullets pointed right up at the sky. There's an invisible line between your heart and mine. I will cross that bridge of stars. Hollow hearts. I stare out at the water and I hope you're not offended. I've been wishing that your border was a little less defended. Every time I see you, we have so much to say. Love is so close, but it's so far away. It all down like a plywood movie scene. The sun starts to sink and everything turns pink. The sky and the city meet. I can see right through the empty office towers. I wonder if they see through me. I wonder if they can see right through me. There's an invisible
That's Alison Brown with Invisible Line from her new album, Stitches and Incisions. Alison is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. Great to be able to talk to you. And Alison, you're just about to head out on this tour that I think is going to take you 3 months. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit, actually, kind of tiny bit longer than 3 months, actually, once I counted up all the days. Yeah, we're headed out on the road. Me and Uncle Dan Henshaw are we're going all the way up through, you know, central Ontario, Toronto area, up through Peterborough and Perth, and then we're up to Ottawa and Montreal. And then from there, we go all the way to the East Coast. We have quite a lot of shows on the East Coast, and then we're going all the way to Newfoundland. We're going to park the van in Halifax and fly over to Newfoundland and do 6 shows in St. John's. And then we turn around and we drive across northern Ontario on Highway 17, and then we have a Home Roots House Concert Series tour in Manitoba. in October. So that is the great quest that we're going on. Yeah.
You know, as an independent, that must be a hell of a lot of work to put all this together, is it?
I was actually sort of shocked when I looked at how much work I ended up doing. Like, it really, I kind of counted up the shows and I was like, okay, well, I've got like 40 shows, not even including the 12 from the Home Roots tour. So I really worked hard on this. Like, I was also working full time when I was trying to book all of this stuff. So I would be waking up. I'm kind of an early bird. So when coffee hits brain, that's when I'm like the most efficient. So I would get up really early before work and start firing away those emails to get these shows booked. So I really kept on it. It's something that you have to work at, like almost, you got to work at it every day. You've got to do a little bit of booking work every day to kind of build something like this. Because for every email that you send, you know, that you book a gig, there's probably three or four other emails that you either get no answer or the scheduling doesn't work out or they're not interested or whatever. So, and not to mention the follow-up phone calls as well. So it's a lot to do. So the great reward of it all is that you actually get to go and go do them all. So I'm really looking forward to that part of it.
So you mentioned that Uncle Dan Henschel is going to be accompanying you. Is he going to be playing his own set while he's on the road with you as well?
This time around, we're actually going to try to incorporate a lot more of Dan's music. You know, Dan is a great songwriter, and he's been writing for a long time, but I feel like he's finally getting that oomph of, like, really great confidence as a vocalist and as a songwriter, that he's definitely going to be playing a lot of his songs as well. So it's going to be more of a duo-type performance, I would say, this time around. Our previous tours have been a little bit more me, but this time around, we're definitely going to incorporate a lot of Dan's songs into our set, too, so... he's got a great little EP that he's just put out called Hard Times, and, you know, we'll be hearing some songs from that as well. So.
And I think on the tour you have a stop in Hamilton and then Guelph and then into Toronto, is that right?
That's right. The tour really starts off with a bang, so we're going to Hamilton on the Friday night, that's August the 7th, and then on August the 8th we're actually going to wake up in Hamilton in the morning. We're going to drive back to London to play at this Eco Arts Festival here in town. And then we're going to drive back up to Guelph and play at the Cornerstone. So, you know, it's not, so 3 gigs in 2 days. And then we play in Toronto the next day on Sunday. And then we have a couple more shows in Toronto the following week before we head out towards Ottawa. So that's the beginning.
That is real commitment to your art. If anybody wonders what people will commit to for their art, it's driving from Hamilton to London to come back to Guelph. So,
yeah.
That's what people do.
It's been done.
Yeah. It's been great to talk to you today. If people want to learn more about your music, how best should they do that?
The best way is on my website. So that's www.alisonbrown.ca. So that's alisonbrown.ca. So that's the best way to find me.
Now, the album we mentioned had 5 originals and 3 covers, and I thought that the choice of cover was pretty interesting. We're only going to be able to play one of them, but I did think it was a good opportunity to give you a chance to talk about the 3 covers themselves.
Yeah, well, my shows are always kind of half and half, and my records up until this point have been about half and half as far as traditional songs, covers, and then my own material. So the 3 that I picked for this record... Great song called Boxcars that I actually heard first done by Rosie Flores, who's a really great singer and guitar player, but it's actually a Butch Hancock song that was covered by Joe Eli, and then I really put my own sort of twist on the whole thing, so it really turned out like it's one of the... Well, it's hard to pick the best track.
Well, you know,
that's
actually quite... I know the Joe Eli one very well, and when I was listening to it, and then I sort of, oh my God, that is the same song, but it's quite different. And I really like what you did with it.
Well, I took a lot from the Rosie Flores version. So, and I saw her play it live a couple of times. So I was really kind of taking my pieces from that. Again, the wonderful folk process that is reinterpreting. So I really like how that one turned out. And then I also recorded a song that I first heard on a Smithsonian Folkways compilation album. By a singer named Michelle Lanchester, and I've been really trying to find more of her music because I haven't heard any of it aside from that one song, Standing by the Bedside of a Neighbor. And then, of course, that was also done by the Dixie Hummingbirds. And it's in that gospel kind of songbook. It's a Thomas A. Dorsey song. So I wanted to add a little bit of gospel to this record. There was a lot of gospel influence on my previous record, so I wanted to keep that going a little bit, too. And then I think you're going to play a song, the last one, I believe, Please Send Me Someone to Love. That was a real... I really want to record that because I've been really getting into a lot more jazz and blues lately. I've been really listening to Dinah Washington like almost every day. So I really have been wanting to kind of take my voice into those areas and give that a shot because it's not really something that I've tried before. I've really kind of stuck with more of a country roots kind of feel. But, you know, that might be what's on the horizon. I think I might be leaning towards more of a blues and R&B jazz maybe direction for maybe some of my next projects down the line. So I really like how that one turned out. So,
well, let's play that now. This is Alison Brown with Please Send Me Someone to Love from her new album Stitches and Incisions. And Alison, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
Thanks so much, Jan. I'm so glad we could chat.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Sympathy, and if it's not asking too